good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the dark side. Oh, I have had too much coffee. I don't sound like it yet, but trust me, it's coming.
No coffee for me, just wheat tea.
Nope.
Oh, it's fake sweet, but you know.
You don't know what you're missing.
No, that's all right. No coffee.
Coffee be tasty. How y'all doing out there this morning? Oh, got so many new people following. Hello, Mr. Shane Walters. Shane is one of my favorite names. PC. Hello, PC.
Imagine that.
Favoriteest names in the whole wide world. So, hello, Mr. Walters. Mr. Walters.
Hello.
Okay, let me just tell you. I am mad about this news I just got in, which I'm going to tell you about, but I'm mad because the link that they gave me don't work. You can't just send a girl gamer this and be like, here, go play this, and then it's not there. I just want to point that out to you people over at Funcom.
No, that ain't cool. That ain't cool at all.
Almost made me use a not safe for work word.
That's not good.
That is not cute. Oh, okay, so...
So who's going first? Because you've got juice and I've got... I'm going to cut a chick.
Ooh, you going to cut a chick?
Yeah, you heard. I had to stutter that there for a second.
Yeah, to cut a chick. Okay, so I guess I can go first since I'm griping.
You go ahead and gripe.
All right, so Funcom has let us know that there is a social game for Secret World that you can play now. However, the link that they sent us, and it's up on our site too, does not work. Good morning, Joe. Does not work. Why you no work, Link? So I guess, I don't know, I got all excited before, you know, before the show this morning. I'm going through, I'm looking.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, ooh, social game, that'll at least keep me sated until such time as I can get the real thing. You know, sometimes
mm-hmm.
you got a girl has to make
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing.
The link is bad. The link is sour. So,
well, I told you Link was bad. I mean, you thought
hey, I didn't say, you know what? See, now you are too far. Went too far, Ginger. Don't say anything about my man.
Girl, I'm scared.
Girl.
I'm not scared.
You saying a sword Link is packing, girl?
I'm more scared of your sword than his.
Where do you think I got my sword from?
That's true.
Right, baby. Either way, baby. Hi, Link. I love you.
Aww.
Or in Link forever. Wait. Although somebody on our Facebook seems to think that she has a chance in yeah, I can't say that word, daytime. Yeah, you don't have a chance. Mine. He'd be mine.
I love you, Corey. You're
and
such
I don't,
a goofball. Look,
and I don't even like elves, but Link, just so y'all know. I'm mad about this whole Funcom thing. I really am. Oh, I should probably tell you the news, huh? Okay, so.
Yeah, you should tell us the news.
I was going to tell you. I'm so upset. You know how we are about Secret World here. It's, you know, it's on par with.
I was like, you know, there's a social thing, but you okay. weren't telling us what it was for or anything else. I was like,
Are you going to tell us
the story?
Is that it? Is that all you had to say?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry, y'all. The coffee is, yeah, I'm trying to keep up. All right, so Funcom, of course, is saying that they're very excited to announce the launch of The Secret War, which is a browser-based online social experience inspired by the conflict between the secret societies in Funcom's upcoming MMO, The Secret World. Starting today, The Secret War will run as a campaign where players get to actively spread the influence of their secret society in a highly interactive experience that tracks each secret society's level of power in the world. And I like this. You see why I was excited? Players, of course, can start by taking a unique personality to determine what secret... personality to, you know what, who wrote this? Funcom, now you guys know you're usually much better on par with this. Okay, so you take your test to find out what society you belong to, and after you join your secret society, you are immediately placed in the middle of the secret war and can start recruiting agents to your cause using your Facebook friends list. Players will have to deploy agents to different countries to increase the influence of their secret society in those regions. As you assist your secret society in their bid for world domination, you will climb their ranks and unlock a wealth of exclusive rewards that can be used in the Secret World MMO at launch. Hot, right? What can you use? Well, clothes, weapons, elixirs, some other stuff they're not telling us about. Players can also unlock guaranteed access to the upcoming beta weekends and can win a trip to Montreal to meet the developers of The Secret World. One of the most exclusive prizes is the opportunity to have your name embedded into the game at launch. That's right, there forever, ever, 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 ever. One of the most interesting features of The Secret World is the profoundly different secret societies that players can join. This is from Mr. Morten Larsen, who's the SVP of Sales and Marketing over at Funcom. He says, since we first announced the game, we have gradually revealed more details about them. And what we've seen is that hundreds of thousands of gamers in our community have come to identify with them and form a loyal bond to other community members belonging to the same society. With the Secret War experience, we are excited about the prospect of allowing even more community interaction and engagement. The Secret World is consistently mentioned as one of the most anticipated online games in development. Currently with...
No, wait. It's going to be so flipping awesome.
Currently, there's 750,000 of us that are registered for the ongoing beta testing. Feedback from the media who have experienced the game themselves. We have not, but we have been promised that we will get a special tour because they like us at Funcom. Feedback has been very positive. And, of course, the latest demos at GDC San Francisco resulted in another round of glowing previews. The Secret World breaking ground genre conventions by introducing a modern-day setting, which we've been begging for, and a story-focused MMO experience, and a free-form progression system using no classes and no levels. I know some of you are like, mind-blown. How are they going to do that? Again, Secret World, well, I forgot the release date, and they didn't give it to us. I'm just mad because I can't play the Secret War. I'm at their site, and I'm looking, and now I'm fixed to send them. Look, and see, I went texting that. I'm fixed to. You heard what I said?
Mm-hmm.
That's when you know a Texan is angry. An educated Texan, I should say. An educated Texan avoids using the fixin' to word. But I'm fixin' to contact them at Funcom and be like, where be our link?
I know. Where is it? Where is it? I want to play. Uh-huh. All right. This chick annoys me, and I want to slap her for several different reasons. GamePolitics.com, actually this came out yesterday afternoon. I think I half mentioned it on our show last night, maybe possibly, I don't remember. Game Over Play depicts couple in crisis over gaming. No, I mentioned this before the show, so none of y'all got to hear it.
No, you mentioned, yeah, correct. All right,
Birmingham resident Tawana Bond-Jones has written a play called Game Over that deals with gaming and how it interferes with relationships. The first run of the play will take place April 21st at the Carver Theater, which is in Birmingham, Alabama, at 4 p.m. Tickets cost $22, da-da-da-da-da. In the play, newlyweds have a day off but argue about how to spend it. The wife wants to spend some quality time with her husband, but her husband wants to spend some quality time gaming. Hijinks ensue. Bon Jones says, I was astounded when I saw all the YouTube videos of adult men going crazy over video games and my own husband willing to spend $50 and upwards of $60 on one video game. Hey, Bon Jones, I have to ask, how much does your hair cost? How much does your nails cost?
Thank you.
She says, I realize it's bigger than the 1980s Atari. Really? Are you going there? Where the hell have you been? Have you been living under a rock? Do you have a cell phone?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. And it made me believe or feel that men, they view it as an investment and really cherish the gaming consoles. Oh, I cherish my gaming console, and I do not have a penis. So, yeah.
She did the P word, daytime.
I did. I'm sorry. My bad. Bon Jones said that she decided to write the play after reading an article in 2010 about video game addiction. From there, she talked to couples and relationship experts about video gaming and watched YouTube videos on gaming. The play is not based on her own personal experiences, but her husband enjoys his fair share of gaming, too, though probably not to the level she writes for the characters in her play. Bon Jones said that her research revealed one story that really drove home the point that games can be a real wedge issue with some couples. The worst case she ran across was a wife who was considering divorce because all her husband wanted to do all day was play video games. She tried to throw the game away. It did not work, Bon Jones said. It was a real affliction for him to be full of advocates of it. Bon Jones also pointed out that women are affected by the same problems as men when it comes to gaming and relationship trouble. I spoke to a woman the other day, and she said she was addicted to PlayStation 3. I think the video game addiction really takes away from the time that could be spent with your partner and the time that's needed to have a successful marriage today. They say while the play deals with a serious subject, it is delivered with a fair amount of humor and emotion, according to Bon Jones. She says it's touching. It's a really deep look into the lives of two people struggling to know what it means to communicate. All right, Bond, seriously, if I had a baseball bat, it'd be all upside your head. There'd be blood everywhere. I love that you're writing about gaming. You're trying to understand. But I have to tell you, I'm a little offended. One, and I know this is silly, because you know you only make it seem like guys are addicted to video games, and I'd like to say I'm just as addicted, if not more.
We just want to be treated equally.
Dadgummit.
True story. Two, you don't have to be connected to the hips. I mean, the chick in your little ad here, I mean, she's got the makeup on, she's got the jewelry on, she's got a wig, you know she's got her nails done. She's probably been waxed. So you want to gripe about him spending $50 for a game when you probably just laid down $200-$300 a month to upkeep you.
Let's do the math for the guys out there. Next time, and this is just for our gamer guys.
Mm-hmm.
Next time, if you have a woman that does not game, which you shouldn't, guys, I'm going to tell you, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, find a gamer girl and make her your wife. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hell yeah.
Let's do the math here. So in Texas, at least, it is $30 for a manicure. I'm sorry. No, that's a pedicure. $20 and upwards for a manicure, pedicure. So that's about $50. If you have long, thick hair like Ginger, the starting price to get your hair done is about $50 to $60.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you happen to be or married to a woman of color, the starting price for hair like Ginger is $70. That's just to wash it, by the way. We're not talking about cut, color, perm, that and perm whichever way, makes it curly, makes it straight, or anything else you want done to it. Okay. We're already up over $100. And we haven't even gotten to the shoes and the clothes and the bag that she's going to buy. So next time your girlfriend says that to you, go ahead and pull out your calculator. Okay, baby, did you get a facial when you went to get your nails done? Oh, facial,
$20. Did you get
eyebrows
waxed?
Yes, eyebrows waxed or threaded. $5 for threaded, $7 for wax. Dude, come on. Girls out there.
I mean, it's between $20 and $45 for nails, depending, usually.
Yeah. Depends on which one you get. Because, you know, if you just, like, I usually get the 25 because I don't like color, because you have to try to match clothes to color. So I get.
I love the solar nails.
Yeah, I'm clear all the way because I like to make sure I'm always not looking crazy. You know, you have on some one color that didn't go with nail color. Yeah, it's expensive for us girls to be looking all pretty. However, you girls that don't play games, don't go to your guy and start saying, you're spending $60 on a game. It's for a kid. You know that whole it's a kid thing? That was in the 80s. Now there are adults that make games for adults. So no kid should be playing them. If you feel like that about your guy and you're trying to take away his pastime, just leave him alone. One of us will be happy to pick him up, and we will sit right there with him on the couch in our lingerie with our eyebrows threaded and our hair done and still play Halo. Thank you. Moving along.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
Hands. Happy. Elated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now bring your little hot little, you know, gamer guy over here.
You don't want him, that's fine.
What's I already that? Had this conversation with some chick this morning, man.
I get
like, why are you stupid? I don't have to, oh, God, you're stupid.
Thing is, if you care about your guy, either sit down and even if you're, you know, what do we call it? Game, we're not playing, you're telling the other person what to do, at least act like you're interested, because you would love it if he came with you to get your pedicure done. He doesn't, and if you don't want him to, then you allow him to have this pastime. Now, all that said and done, if your guy is, like, addicted to where he's not paying bills, he's not bathing, he's not eating, then he needs help, and it's nothing about the game. He just has an addictive personality. It could be crack. Just be thankful it's a game and not the crack, but it could, but he needs some help, and probably needs to go to a 12-step program. But the guy that's sitting there on Friday saying, you know, I'd rather just kind of stay in and play, girl, it's time for you to either go get your hair and your nails done or sit down with him and, you know, ask him some questions, play along, or
get your own computer, start playing your own games next week. Get your own console. Hell yeah.
Something else to do. Occupy your time. That's something he likes to do. It makes him happy. And there's always ways to distract him from that. You girls know how we work. Sit in his lap.
Yes, yes.
This also works with gay couples. Girls, sit in your girl's lap. Guys, sit in your girl's lap. All the way around.
I'm going to give you the hint, because I know there are pictures out there. You got a gamer guy, you got a gamer girl, whatever. Take those controllers and use them as clothing.
There you
won't
go.
Buy nothing but those controllers.
I know.
Man.
Every time I'll be like, I got to go.
Yeah, I'll be like,
I'm going to have to leave the lobby for a minute.
I'll be back.
I'm going to go ahead and stay in the lobby while y'all do this round. I will be back in a minute. Is my mic muted? Hello, hello.
Yeah, I might have done that once.
You guys, same to you. If you have a girl that games and you don't, either let another gamer guy have her or you better find a way in. Oh, my God, I found the Secret World game. By the way, if you are following us on Twitter, I did just tweet this to the lovely peoples. Go ahead and check that out. I am over playing. I'm already in love. It's drool just falling from my mouth onto the paper. Lovely. I love you, Funcom. I have always loved you. I almost love you like I love Link, almost. All right. THQ is apparently doing well, better than they expected this quarter. Yeah. Today they provided preliminary unaudited financial results for the fourth quarter, which ended on March 31st. So for the fourth quarter, THQ expects to report a non-GAAP net sales of $160 million to $170 million, which is above the company's previous outlook of non-GAAP net sales in the range of $130 to $150 million. Revised net sales expectations reflect that there is continued strong net sales of the critically acclaimed Saints Row the Third. I don't know why, but some of you love it. It has stayed in the top 20 at the very least since it's been out, which to date has shipped in more than 4 million units, higher than expected digital sales, largely driven by the robust digital content of Saints Row the Third, and slightly higher than expected net sales of UFC Undisputed 3, which was released mid-February 2012 to highly favorable critical reviews, achieving an average Metacritic score of 85, but we've already told you how we feel about Metacritic here. The company currently expects a fiscal quarter non-GAAP net loss per share in the range of 10 cents to 20 cents compared to its previous expectation of a net loss per share in the range of 35 to 50%. THQ expects to report cash and cash equivalents of approximately $70 million as of March 31st, which is three times higher than the previous expectation for its year-end cash balance due to better-than-expected operating results in the fourth quarter as well as earlier-than-anticipated cash receipts. Additionally, the company ended the quarter with no outstanding borrowings on its $50 million credit facility. Wow. And did not borrow against the facility during the quarter. Awesome. The company expects to utilize a substantial portion of its cash and cash equivalents as well as the credit facility as it launches its slate for the 2013 fiscal year, beginning with Darksiders 2. I don't know if you should make a 2. I don't think one did that well, did. Okay, but anyway. That's all. Well, yeah, there's some more to that story. All it boils down to is if you're looking for a job, THQ is probably going to be hiring. And you can check our job boards for that because we got some stuff from THQ up there.
Yes, come over and check it out. GameNightChicks.com.
Front page, our featured job of the day. I don't know what our featured job of the day is. I didn't look at it today. But go over, and if you're looking to hire, you can also...
GameNightChicks.com.
You can also use our boards to post that you're looking for someone for a job. Hey, easy peasy.
Yes.
And stuff. Even though our cloud is a little...
Today, game programmer, C++, relocation offered, Austin, Texas.
Oh, now see that? Relocation offered? That's good. They're going to pay for you to move. Come on. Some of you out there want to move. If I was good at C++, I'd go.
And it's Austin.
That's everywhere you want to be. Wait a minute. I was about to sign up with the Templars. I am so not a Templar. Illuminati for life, baby.
Illuminati, baby. All right. So we've got... All right. I've got a couple of... little short, cute things that I came across last night that I want to talk about. They're not necessarily gaming, but they are flipping awesome. And I'm going to cough. So, Lego craft made by Canadian teenagers reaches outer space. That's awesome.
Who? What happened?
Canadian teenagers made a Lego craft and launched it into space.
That's amazing.
That is. All right, so I'm pulling this from Tekka, TECCA.com. Newt Gingrich may be planning to build a colony on the moon by 2020, but he may have some major competition. A pair of Canadian 17-year-olds just launched a Lego astronaut into space and have the video to prove it, which is up on Tekka.com, by the way. Teenagers Matthew Ho and Asad Muhammad constructed the craft using a helium weather balloon and a tiny Lego astronaut holding a Canadian flag. As you're reaching a height of 8,000 feet, the craft fell back down to Earth. It landed safely thanks to a parachute, and it was retrieved with the aid of a GPS receiver. Thankfully, the pair of amateur rocket scientists thought to attach a video camera to the Lego craft. So we have full documentation of the epic journey into the Earth's atmosphere. And I am going to tweet this. Yes, I am, because this is so awesome. Oh, well, at least maybe I am if I can find how to share it. Anyways, this is so cool. I love this.
I am amazed. Go. Go, guys.
Heck yeah.
Those crazy Canadians.
Uh-huh. All right, so this one fits more in with gaming because, you know, we do have Battlestar Galactica, the game, all this fun stuff.
But now, Security File said that he saw the video of, I don't know if he's talking about Secret World or if he's talking about your video. Either way, he said it was cool. Whichever one, we thank you.
All right, so this one, a little more to do with gaming, still kind of geeky, though. High school teens building a Battlestar Galactica Viper simulator in their garage. Tell me that's not cool. 5 high school students are building their very own Viper, the fighter spacecraft of the protagonist in the TV show Battlestar Galactica, right in a garage. Because it's not quite possible to build a spacecraft in your backyard with a limited budget, the teenagers took the fuselage of an old small plane and mounted it on a platform that can rotate 360 degrees. The motion-controlled platform turns the erstwhile harmless aircraft scrap into a nauseating ride. The young engineers and the mentors are building the Viper simulator for the Bay Area Maker Faire in May. The Viper in the video is far from being complete, though. The students plan to modify it further to resemble the real Viper more. To cover the cost of building the simulator, the team is trying to raise $10,000 on Kickstarter. Everybody's on Kickstarter. Donations through the project's official website. And I am going to tweet this one as well. So this is just amazing. I think this is so awesome.
All right. Those of you who are Illuminati, you know where to find us. SecretWar.thesecretworld.com. Come on over here.
Yes, come over. Come play with us.
What? Is there a Templar? Oh. I was about
you
to fight.
You can tell me. I need the link.
I just told you, secretwar.thesecretworld.com is where it is. I think they hit it on purpose. They just want you to see how desperate are you.
Secretwar.thesecretworld.com.
I also tweeted it.
.com.
Okay, I got some agents. I'm about to deploy some of you. I got 7 agents. Wait a minute. This is not cool. Okay, you know what? You know what? We should never be playing games on on the show.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you now, Templars, you're going down.
81.
All right. So let me tell you my story while Ginger goes ahead and joins up.
Yes. We should be playing games while we're on air.
We did that experiment some years ago. It did not go over well. Not go over well at all. All right. Those of you who love you some HTC, although I cannot imagine why, and I'm sorry, HTC, your phone's not, I'm not a fan, but HTC's new flagship Android smartphone, the One X, finally has a release date here in the U.S. AT&T announced this morning to VentureBeat that it will offer the One X starting May 6th for $200 with a typical 2-year contract. Boo. The phone was first introduced at Mobile World Congress in February, along with the rest of HTC One's series. AT&T touts the One X as its first Android 4.0 premium, which we call damage device, as well as the first with Beats Audio Beats Audio is built in at the hardware and software level. T-Mobile is expected to divulge details of its One S Sentry at the New York City event later tonight. The One X is supposed to support a 4.7-inch screen with a dual-core Snapdragon S4 processor running at 1.5 gigahertz. Stop. Hands above the desk, people. The European versions of the One X feature a quad-core NVIDIA Tegra 3 processor, but as we learned at the Mobile World Congress this year, NVIDIA hasn't been able to fit in an LTE chipset along with its new chip. Still, the Snapdragon S4 is one of the fastest mobile chips on the market right now. Even with only 2 cores, and the addition of the LTE makes it more tempting phone than its European counterpart. While the One X is fast and it's gorgeous, the real star of HTC's new lineup is the improved camera software and hardware, which the company is calling ImageSense. The One X features an 8-megapixel camera with a 1080p HD video recording capability. It also has an f2.0 lens, which means it lets in plenty more light than other smartphones. Thank God, the pictures are always so dark. The phone also sports 0 shutter lag, so there's no delay when you're trying to take a picture, as well as an easy burst shooting capability by holding down the shutter button. Pre-orders for AT&T's HTC One X will begin on April 22nd in just a few days if you want to get one. I have never been a fan of their phones. It's always a case of every one of their phones that I've seen, belonging to people that I know, always been the case that they freeze up a whole lot. But who knows? Maybe this one will be awesome. Not fond of contracts, AT&T. Why can I not just buy a phone and pay for it? Why? Jen, just explain to me. You're muted.
Sorry, I was deploying agents. Why can't we just buy a phone?
Yeah, you know, they keep making you, you have to buy a phone, you have a contract. Why are you people doing that? Maybe I don't mind giving AT&T my money or whomever my money, but can you just...
I think mainly they are afraid that if they were to allow us to, say, like, because here in Texas you can choose your power company. And you can switch as many times as you want, as often as you want.
Yeah.
But a lot of these companies still have you sign on at a certain price for, you know, 1 year. And it won't go up, it won't change for a whole year, for 12 months. And that's how they keep you. And I think that's mainly just so that they can keep their services offered. I don't know.
It's just not, I don't think it's good business in this day and age. Especially, we're in a recession. You look at people losing their jobs and they end up in trouble because they tried to sign a contract. You do need your cell phone. You do have to have cell phone this day and age. It makes sense. Before it was a luxury, now it's quickly becoming a necessity, I believe, for everybody to have. So, just, it should not be that you require a contract.
Yeah. Leave. It should not be.
I got a lot of people to recruit here. Ginger, where you be? I'm going to recruit you next.
You recruit me.
I got to get to your name first. Wow, I didn't know I had so many people. And you know what? You know what's good about this? I know who each and every one of you are. There's like one or two people I'm like, who the hell are you? But only one or two. I know mostly all of you, who you are. We've interacted at some point. That's nice to have friends. Okay, so Ginger, it could be your turn while I...
It does be my turn. All right, I got to stop trying to recruit people. All right, so CBS Interactive Inc.'s deal with Twitch TV and Major League Gaming. GameSpot and Giant Bomb owner CBS Interactive has inked a deal with Justin TV and Major League Gaming to bring advertising promotions and sponsorships to the game competition and game streaming service. More importantly, it makes CBSi Games the exclusive online broadcaster of the Pro Circuit competitions. The esports scene is one of the hottest trends in video and is rapidly attracting the core 18 through 34 male demographic. Hello, what about us girls? In great numbers than any other medium of category, says Jim Lanzone, president, CBS Interactive. With these partnerships, CBSi now represents the biggest audience in living gaming and is able to offer our advertising partners a unique mix of trusted premium content along with the huge engagement and audience that the esports scene is commanding right now. They say on a related note, CBSi Games will also be representing the North America Star League, one of the largest StarCraft.
And we did that yesterday, honey bear. Yeah.
All right. So, if we did that one. Talk about Mass Effect 3 controversy, good for the industry?
We may have mentioned we were going to talk about it on the show, but you can share again.
All right, so in a new editorial on games industry, International Matt Plotecher. I hope I said your name wrong. Right.
You said it right.
You know what? If I said it wrong, just come over to the show some night and tell me how to say it right. All right, so a game designer at casual and social studio Arcadium argues that BioWare's Mass Effect 3 game-ending controversy could be a watershed moment for the growth of the medium. His overall point is that games have moved past the argument of whether or not they are a valid form of expression. Mass Effect 3, in other words, is receiving the same kind of criticism a popular book, television series, or movie might get from angry fans. Yes, but they don't go and change the ending, so... stop that. He says, I'm not here to debate the actual qualities of the endings. I'm also not here to overanalyze the question of author control versus responsibility to the audience. Rather, as I mentioned previously, I see a larger underlying issue that I think Mass Effect 3 has illustrated better than any other game to date. Mass Effect 3 has run aground on an issue that has long plagued other media. Books, movies, and television shows have all gone through the exact same issue. What should one do when an ending fails to resonate with the audience? While many would grant the creators the right to finish the story as they see fit, many creators have also changed their mind about the original ending they made. They say it's an interesting point, and the ME3 controversy is not the first time a creative work has been changed by an author in other mediums. They say one example is Stephen King's book The Stand. Many years after the original was published, he released a new version with a different ending. Another example was the film adaptation of Stephen King's The Shining. King disliked Stanley Kubrick's film so much that he recreated a TV movie miniseries in the 1990s.
And I didn't like that either.
No. Games are unique as Clocher, hope I'm saying that right, points out later in his article because they require the player to spend dozens of hours doing things and driving the direction of the plot in some cases. In the case of Mass Effect 3, you can't tell the player that everything they've accomplished in the last three games will culminate in a grand finale and then make that ending virtually the same for everyone. Different colored explosions are not enough. They have a point there. All right, so he says, the current discussion about the Mass Effect 3 ending, however, and its lack of acknowledgement to the choices that the player made throughout the trilogy reflects a higher standard for the video games from the players. Unlike most books, movies, and other forms of media, video games are inherently built to allow for different choices that the player can take. And the Mass Effect series has run with this idea more than any other video game series to date. Its strong success with critics and fans and profit margins has shown that video games are already at the point where you can have thought-provoking fun and robust games where the interactivity is part and parcel of the emotional investment. Once the majority of players start thinking about the video games in this manner, the general public is likely not far behind.
I would first
point.
I'm sorry. I just don't feel like the developer should have to change anything. If you don't like it, you don't watch it. I actually have never seen both versions of The Shining. I haven't read the story. One of the few Stephen King books I haven't read because I'm a huge Stephen King fan. But I didn't like that he decided to redo Stanley Kubrick's version because it was an interpretation of your book. But it is his book he's entitled to. But I don't feel like the developer should have to change anything. You guys over at Mass Effect, don't change a single solitary word. If the people don't like it, then they should not have to buy it. You don't need to cater. It's a work of art, as we've been saying all the past 2 weeks. You don't go to Da Vinci and say, by the way, we need you to redraw your Peruvian man because, I'm sorry, we don't like the way the finger looks on the left hand. We just really don't like it. We find it offensive. No. You knew what you were getting into. You know
exactly.
It's a game. You know
yes.
You may not like the ending.
Yes.
The things you can complain about is, hey, when I'm walking, my foot is turned, you know, forward or something weird or it's turned backwards or there's clipping or it crashes my Xbox. Those are things you complain about, not about an ending.
Mm-hmm.
I am rolling my eyes. I didn't like that he changed the ending to The Stand. Stephen King did either. I was very much against that. I have both versions, and I am pissed off that I had to buy two different versions and that the one that he rewrote was not nearly as good as the original, not even close to. Suck.
Yes, totally. You know, maybe I'm an oddball, but I watch these movies, and even if I don't like the ending, I'm mad for, about, I don't know, 2 minutes, and then it's like, oh, hey, look, shiny object.
Yeah. I don't like the second and third Matrix. I despise them. But, hey, I'm not going to go and tell them to redo them.
You're right. The very last Matrix, I did not like the ending. I felt like there was more that I
would. Well, there was more, but the game is the best part. The game. I've told y'all about the game. Y'all know I wax poetic about what they did with the game. The game made it worth it to, you know, to access what happened in the movies because of the poetry that Neo was writing about Trinity in the game. You all had to play the game. It was beautiful. And it wasn't just that he was writing poetry. It was the way it was done. It was a big, massive event. And you had to fight agents that looked like Neo to get pieces of fragments because nobody knew if Neo was alive or not is what it was. Remember how they ended the movie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That it was the same way in the game. And they show you, I will give this away because the game is gone. Morpheus dies and they make this big event. Whenever you'd log in, they'd have like a newspaper stand. You could go and see what's going on. But the newspaper, of course, was always a trailer of something that was going on in the game. So we see Morpheus going in to, he's trying to find out if Neo's alive. He's supposed to meet somebody. He ends up getting killed. And that's when Neo finally comes out of hiding in a weird way. He doesn't actually come out. He starts, you know, changing agents into his face.
Yeah.
And us regular humans had to fight these agents. And you get fragments. Things where he's like, never meant for Morpheus to give his life for me, and nothing means anything without her. It's all about her, and we're all like, oh, this is beautiful. Lovely, how lovely. Yeah, y'all need to bring that game back every day. You know, we need to make a list. Bring it back. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. Okay, so you guys that are going to be playing the Secret War with us, we're just going to make this a whole running thing during the show. Apparently, we got some dragons up in Nebraska, my Illuminati folk. Y'all know what y'all got to do.
And hey, Texas changed.
Yeah, we run Texas. Illuminati runs Texas.
Yeah, there was dragon in Texas when I came in. I was like, whoa.
Oh, they got Nebraska. It's real time. Oh, no, the dragon have gotten Ghana. Really?
Arkansas. They got Arkansas.
Why is there so many of those Templars in Canada? You Canadian people. Uh-uh. Not right. Not right. Not right. Okay, we're off. Crazy this morning. Have you noticed we're kind of off this morning? Have y'all noticed?
We are, just a little bit. Randomly start inviting you people. I know you play, and I know
and
you.
And you play, and you play.
You play. All right.
And
let's
you
move
play.
Down the list of people.
I just grabbed a few people. I'll try not to inundate too
many. Okay, there's an error. There's an error.
There's an error.
Arrow.
Okay, the ZX Spectrum is celebrating their 30th birthday. I know you're like, who is ZX Spectrum? Well, they made that whole Raspberry Pi thing. P-I,
yeah.
Pi, remember Pi from math class?
No.
This is a very short story, but in recognition of their ZX Spectrum computer, they have an entire, they said they've, the effect or the influence that it's had on an entire generation in the creative and scientific fields in the UK and beyond. Sci-Fi London, also known as the London International Festival of Science Fiction and Fantastic Film, will give honor to Clive Sinclair's invention in a lighthearted ceremony on Saturday, May the 5th, 2012, at noon at London's BFI Sound Bank. You can check that out at sci-fi-london.com, and it is the Sci-Fi London Film Festival. Thank you guys for sending that over. I love that people in the UK. They are so good to us. I love them.
Yes, yes, totally love y'all.
Wait, I got another story.
Oh, what you got? What you got?
Another one. Remember we were telling you about War to Glory? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, Just a Game is the company who makes that, and they've announced the launch of a new mission storyline and the launch of an all-new website for their browser-based war strategy sensation, War to Glory. With the launch of the new missions, Just a Game is offering new players a valuable and rare prize pack that they can get by visiting wartoglory.com/vengeance. The prize pack is for new players joining the Vengeance server and includes a slew of mission prizes, including speed-ups, enabling commanders to raise their army more quickly with unrivaled power and performance, AV, which is armored vehicles, 10-star badges, 2 technicians to increase your building speed, also to experience the new story arc, and to claim your special welcome pack, you can head to Operation Vengeance now. Which is, also, you know what, you'll have to go over to their website. That's an extremely long link. We can't read that out to you. It is. It's really long. It's like 2 pages long. It's like there was an arrow, go to page 2. No, I'm kidding. War to Glory is also sporting a brand new redesigned site in addition to a graphic update. The new site now offers a news slider and a news feed that allows players to quickly browse the latest updates and happenings for the game. In addition, the team has launched a new blog titled The Blue Text Blog, to offer an even more in-depth behind-the-scenes look to the War to Glory community. It is a real-time strategy game where you take the role of a commander who must lead the development of your war-torn city, expand into new territories, and conquer the game world. To succeed on the battlefield, players must drive the development of their city, expand their military forces. You do have more than 40 different authentic vehicles from World War II at your disposal, and you can implement the tactics of the Second World War on a huge map of the world, and you must draw on your strategic skills to achieve victory over other players, and you dragon people, get out of my Texas! I'm sorry.
I know, right? I mean, they got, like, all of Europe. Stay out of Texas! Come on.
Oh, look, we took over Canada. Illuminati, baby.
Did we? I gotta go look.
Illuminati for life.
Oh, we did. Canada's all ours. Oh, crap. They got New Mexico.
Wait a minute. Something must be done.
Don't you be taking over.
I need some more agents. You people out there, get on your Facebooks today. And
they got no, they didn't get over.
They're just getting a high registry.
No, they got Missouri. No.
Oh, my God. Y'all have made Ginger very,
very, very, very squeaky.
Ginger very, very angry. Oh, do you know what I meant to tell you? Do you guys remember Furbies?
Remember what?
Furbies, those Furby dolls.
Oh, my God, yes.
Well, I went to visit my grandmother for Easter, and she pulled out my Furby and says,
aww.
Yeah, it's missing an eyelash or something. I don't know. She says, why don't you get some batteries for it so I can talk to it? And I says, no, because you were scared of it. She really was. She was afraid of the Furby. She said it would talk to her sometimes. She'd go into the room, and it would start talking to her. Yeah, she's like, how would it know I was in there? I said, I don't know. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Ginger, what you got? This is a crazy newscast this morning with all this stuff going on.
Dragoons, y'all can have Tennessee. There ain't nothing in Tennessee I like.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so David Kushner on his new book, Jacked, the outlaw story of Grand Theft Auto.
Ooh. Nice.
Yeah, yes. CNET has an interesting interview with the game journalist David Kushner, who talks about his latest book, Jacked, the outlaw story of Grand Theft Auto. The book takes a deeper look at the Grand Theft Auto phenomenon and delves into related topics such as the game's development, the ESRB, Hot Coffee, and Jack Thompson, amongst other topics. The interview is very interesting because it discusses how Kushner approached some of the most controversial topics related to Rockstar's popular series. For example, he writes about the whole Hot Coffee controversy from the modding community's perspective, and how the whole controversy has some positive effects, like getting the ESRB to refine its descriptors for game content and to review how closely it examined the game it rated, along with finally bringing to light the fact that Grand Theft Auto is a game really meant for adults. So we got a couple of things. They say a little more about how you think Hot Coffee changed the video game industry. Kushner says it forced the Entertainment Software Ratings Board, ESRB, to develop some more refined guidelines about how games are submitted, reviewed, etc., and new penalties. During that era, the game industry was in a battle with Capitol Hill over violent games. You had a lot of powerful people who were threatening to regulate the industry, which is something that would have been awful, in my opinion. And Hot Coffee seemed to be the smoking gun for these detractors, but ultimately the controversy passed, changes were made, and detractors like Joe Lieberman came around to say that the games industry's ratings were doing a good job. I think the days of those threats of regulation are behind us. The writer goes on to say that my favorite part of the interview deals with Jack Thompson and the industry's failure to put someone up against him on the cable news circuit. Is Jack Thompson a true believer or a media-savvy opportunist? Kushner says, maybe a bit of both. I've spent a lot of time with Jack over the years, and he's more nuanced than people realize. And I disagree about games, but I tried to write about him the same way I write about anyone, sympathetically and as a real person. The fact is, whether you love or hate Jack, he had a big impact on shaping public opinion about video games. And I think that is partly the fault of the game industry. There was a specific strategy in place to not engage him, and as a result, he was on many talk shows unopposed. I'm just a writer about the industry, and I was being asked to go on CNN to provide a counterpoint, when all along I was wondering, why isn't a game developer or publisher doing this instead of me? That's a good point.
Or any of us, which is what you keep hearing us mention our Kickstarters about, is there is no one to go on the shows, and sometimes they manage to grab somebody. They grab the wrong person. Not to say... Let's say, for instance, I've seen a couple of programmers that have been invited to talk on CNN. And this is not to say they don't know about their community, but really they're a programmer. They're really not on the development side. They read some news, but mostly they're interested in the game that they play. That's why they're a programmer. It's kind of the equivalent of saying, you know, there's a basketball player and this crime happened and it just happens to involve basketball, but let's go ahead and ask one of the basketball players, a professional basketball player from another state, to come in and talk about it. Now he can kind of speculate, but really he's kind of at a loss. He doesn't do news. There's nothing for him to really to talk about. Not to say he can't speak, but it's much better when you have somebody from the media, the same way Jack Thompson, I'm sure he had a media coach that told him what to say. He's right, it would have been much better to have someone else, and we don't have those people. We got a lot of Indians and no chief, to use a Southernism. It's usually the reverse. You have a lot of chiefs and no Indians. And there is no chief except for us. We're here every day, all day, and we all got big mouths. And we could go back in time. You stick me on a panel against Jack Thompson, I would eat him up. Because I'm telling you, I saw him on talk shows, and I was screaming at the TV. Oh my God!
I love you, Corey. Can I have your pixel babies?
No.
Damn it.
Did I tell you? You know what? You've been hanging around Snow too much. Tell you like I tell her, I'm a cutcher.
Cut me to the white meat, baby.
Oh, hell no.
What's going on?
The dragons.
Don't tell me they got Texas.
No, okay. No, they got the Honduras. I like Honduras.
Oh, crap. And the Templars have all of Canada again.
They do? Mine hasn't updated. I know they got most of Africa.
They got, I don't know what that tiny little country is right there. It's not even showing me.
You know what?
Oh, they got Honduras.
That's what I said. They just got Honduras. Oh, man.
Oh, another little one.
Oh, we took the United States back, Canada. We're all good. Well, no, we were.
I still show New Mexico and
dragons have
yeah,
Mexico
Kansas.
And yeah, and
I can have Kansas, dudes.
Illuminati's moving into Africa. We just want to let y'all know. The dragons have taken over Sweden, and now you must die because that's where the secret world comes from. So now,
awesome.
You're going down. So see, this is a very nice social. You know, Funcom does some really interesting promo things. Always does interesting promo. Gotta say, I love them. All right, moving on to more news because you know we will sit here and play this game, and y'all can just listen to us. We don't really care. We'll be yelling out. So and so has blah blah. Something must be done. All right. So a new company called Mo Minis. Yes, I said Mo Minis.
Mo Minis.
They are from Israel. Yeah. They're from Israel. They're a mobile game firm, and they have what they call a mega portal they're creating for Android devices, and they've raised $4.5 million in a new round of venture funding from BRM Group and Mitsui Ventures. In December, the Mo Minis launched Playscape, a mega game with 50 games inside one free Android app. Is that not hot or what? 50 games for one? Playscape offers a uniform cross-game experience and allows you to carry experience points and virtual currency accumulated in one game to another. Users have downloaded more than 15 million games in the past 3 months. The cross-game features encourage players to try out more games, which helps developers with the critical problem of discovery. In the huge Android market with hundreds of thousands of titles, it isn't easy to get noticed, so developers could benefit from something like the Mo Minis Playscape mega game. The app and free game and games are free, but users can pay for virtual goods within them. Playscape has earned a rating of 4.7 out of 5 from more than 8,000 reviewers. The average session length is 25 minutes compared to 8 minutes for all mobile games. Mo Minis tracks more than 20 million users who play 60 million sessions per month and performs 2.5 million actions. VentureBeat spoke with Itzik Fried, who's the chief executive, I love the name, executive of Mo Minis, who said, "We're happy to see that beyond the success in increasing user retention, distribution, and discoverability, it's embraced by millions of users as an entertaining mobile experience. It's akin to the old arcades where users bought tokens. They would play their favorite game, but then they would use the leftover tokens to try out something new. Mo Minis previously raised $4.9 million from BRM Capital and Mitsui Ventures. It was founded in 2008 and currently has 25 employees. Participating publishers include Gameloft and Glu Mobile." Those are some heavy hitters as far as mobile games go. Rivals include Gree, DNA, Injimoko, which you've heard us talk about quite a bit here, iSwifter, we mentioned them as well, and others making meta game layers. Mo Minis also competes with Game Salad, Unity Technologies, ooh, that's a big Godzilla monster, and others making some development tools. Founders include the Zach Hader, which is Chief Technology Officer, did you stop it, and a former member of Intelligence Unit.
I didn't do it!
You go to Russia where I've deployed you, dadgummit.
I don't wanna. It's cold. Wait, they got vodka. All right, I'll go.
There you go. Marketing Chief Eyal Rabinovich is a seasoned engineer who previously worked at Hedge Tech Financial Engineering and Lippmann Electronic Engineering. Zavi Rabinovich, co-founder, is the president of research and development, and Aviv Revach is the company's fourth co-founder. In a market where 99.99% of mobile apps languish and disappear, Playscape is offering a solution for mobile game developers, providing distribution and discoverability with, again, 15 million downloads in 3 months.
Colorado. Sorry.
You go to Russia. With 15 million downloads in 3 months, Mo Minis platform is poised to become a market leader in this high-growth market. Good luck to you guys. Sounds like you got good. We're thinking about offering some games. What do you think, Ginger?
We should offer some games. Where the hell is Hawaii?
Wait a minute. Hawaii's not on there?
I'm looking for it. Where's Hawaii?
No, well, you're right. I should probably shoot them an email.
It should be between, right? It should be right up there. Where?
Right there. Let's look on the other side. No, it is not there. Ooh, somebody messed up. Yeah. Let me hop on over and let Funcom know.
Where's Hawaii? Say,
look, I'm going to be like, sorry, and we said this on the air. Ooh, sorry.
My bad. I got another cool kind of little story. Again, it's not really gaming, but it is geeky. And yes, I know y'all are here for gaming news, but this is cool. 10-year-old discovers a new molecule during science class.
Wow.
Yes, 10-year-old Clara Lazen built a model of the previously unknown tetranitroxycarbon using a molecular kit. Are you smarter than a grader now? Probably the most appropriate time to ask yourself that. A girl named Clara Lazen recently discovered a previously unknown molecule. Molly, I love you. I'm going to just say molecules. Anyway, she hasn't even graduated from grade school yet. Clara's fifth grade teacher, she's 10.
Mm-mm-mm.
Her fifth grade teacher, Ken Bower, handed his students a model building toys during science class one day. The curious 10-year-old built a model that she thought looked stable with atoms that fit together perfectly, not knowing that nobody had ever thought of it before. Intrigued by the model his student built, Bower snapped some pictures of it and sent them to his college friend Robert Zollner, who's now a chemistry professor at Humboldt State University in California. Upon further inspection, Zollner determined that the molecule was indeed a new discovery. He dubbed it as a tetranitroxycarbon and wrote a research paper on it that was just published in a journal called Computational and Theoretical Chemistry.
Wait, is Claire, he making money off of her discovery? Do we have to find you, dude?
Right. Claire, who's probably never heard of the journal, was named one of his co-authors.
Co-author? She needs to...
Yeah, no, right. Nobody knows what the molecule can molecule can actually do. It's something that we'll find out if and when a chemist succeeds in synthesizing it. While Zollner is still wondering whether it could store energy or create large explosions, Claire is already thinking of what she can do with it. I could sell this to the military for money.
And I'm sorry, I called her Molly on Twitter, but her name is actually Claire.
Claire. Yes,
but we should start calling her Molly Molecule.
Yeah. Her name's actually Clara. Clara Lazen.
We should call her Claracule then. She needs a name.
She needs. I know, and I had to talk about this mainly because she's very young, and this is geeky, and she's a girl.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Yes. And girls not get enough.
Yeah, I see that. He just took it. I'm gonna write a paper. Dude, give that little girl her money.
I know, right? I'm going to reach over and smack him.
I'm going to do more than reach over and smack him.
She's going to shank you. It's not going to be good.
I'm going to pick your twig and berries is what I'm going to do. Okay, so anyway.
Ow!
See, there's a way to say it when it's not safe for work.
Oh, but my way is so much more fun.
This is very true. I'm not even sure where to go with this. Yeah, I'm going to need... Forget about that. We're going to go over to this because we got a few minutes. I don't have time. We'll talk about Valve probably tomorrow night. They got some crazy stuff going on over Valve. I don't know what they're doing. It seems like they don't know what they're doing. Anyway, we'll talk about it tomorrow night. We're talking about some digital... What? Okay, never scroll. Scroll,
don't
never scroll.
Don't scroll.
Oh, Joe wants to know what we're playing. The Secret War is what we're playing for upcoming Secret War. It's coming. You can play it at the Secret... I'm sorry, secretwar.thesecretworld.com. Go ahead and play. And you better be Illuminati, Joe. You better be Illuminati. That's what we are. We're all Illuminati here. We took the test. We are unemphatically Illuminati. We didn't pick them. They picked us.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be chosen.
Exactly.
To be, look at how I'm starting up. We have to be chosen to be Illuminati. Special. That's why we own most of the world. Look at the map. It's all blue. All right. So let me get this quick one out of the way because it's almost time for us to get out of here. Rock Hip Hop Productions announced today their highly popular free-to-play. That's right. We said free. Multiplayer action combat game Brawl Busters. We've told you about it before. They said they're ready to think outside the box with the newest update called Rumble in the Box. Yes, it's a play on Rumble in the Bronx. So check out the new action packed online game. Players can visit brawlbusters.com/splash.
new called Riot Mill is now open for brawling. You can grind your opponents to a pulp on this multi-level arena like there's no tomorrow, Ginger. From now on, players have a chance to get an elusive lucky key drop. Use these with the lucky box to acquire special items like hero sets and golden weapons that are not available, even for sale. Uh-huh. So you ready for some serious shops? I like when they do that. The game store, of course, has also been updated with beastly wildcat costumes and weapon sets for every class. Will you beat out the competition like Kentucky? It's time to team up. The first phase of crews is now available. Busters can gang up together, join other crews, and check out crew rankings in the Busters Center, which is located on the Brawl Busters website at brawlbusters.com. And last but not least, there's more brawling to be done than ever before, as the level cap has been increased from 20 to 25. Players can also now refine their matches with a variety of additional customization options, including altering the number of kills required and match time limits.
Awesome. Yes, this is so awesome.
Okay, wait a minute. Quick update for those of you playing. Quick update for those of you playing. Those freaking Templars have Canada again. And
they have Canada. And the Dragoons are taking over the U.S. Oh, crap, they just got Wisconsin.
And South
Carolina. No more cheese!
Who's got South Carolina? Wait a minute, what state is it? Arkansas. Oh.
That's too close.
Ginger, did you go to Russia? Because I don't see any representation.
If I could send anybody, I already sent out the only two people that I had. I need four people.
Two people come here and get signed up. We need some assistance.
Yes. Ginger Rocks Facebook. Check me out. Come on, man. You got to find me, friend me. We will take over the world, quite literally.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so
it's time for us to get out of here. Remember, you can listen to us every day here, every weekday, rather, at 11 and noon, Lunch with Ginger and Corey, and also Tuesday and Thursday nights, Pixinista, and This Week in Gaming is tomorrow night. Remember, our nightly shows are completely different. We're a little raw. There's a whole lot of bad words, so make sure you bring your big girl panties.
Hey, we got Sweden.
Ginger and I are going to go continue our bid for world domination as the Illuminati. Yeah, I'm going to play this Not Safe for Work song because it's
we warned you ahead of time, so...
Later, boys and girls.